Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations, you're now members of the 114th Congress.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, it shouldn't take an act of Congress for these women to be interred in Arlington National Cemetery. We've heard from numerous people on both sides of the aisle that this is simply the right thing to do. The Army should have just said, yes, let's get them buried there. The President should have used his pen and phone and ordered the Army to do it if they wouldn't. But guess what? We're here now, and it's going to take an act of Congress. And it's going to be a very strong act of Congress. I can't imagine we not passing this out of this House unanimously. And I suspect we'll see similar results in the Senate. But the remains of this woman should not have to rest in her granddaughter's closet. They should be interred in Arlington now. I urge my colleagues here to pass this bill unanimously, urge the Senate to act quickly, and urge President Obama to sign this into law. It's simply the right thing to do. We've just got to do it.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Lamont Banks, along with Lisa Stewart, Cliff Stewart, and Dennis Merritt. And you've arrived at what we call Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. And I'll tell you right now, and hold on, they're talking in my ear here. We want to go ahead and give me one moment, ladies and gentlemen, as tonight seems to be a big one, as all our spotlights are. And wait a minute. What is that sound? Something big coming out of Texas. This is AJC Radio Spotlight on Capitol Hill. Folks, hold on to your seats. We are getting ready to shine the light on Congressman Blake Fahrenthold, and he is from the state of Texas. Hang on, folks. We are getting ready for a journey and a trip. Buckle in. Spotlight on Capitol Hill starts right now. And there you have it, folks. Tonight's theme is going to definitely be a good one. Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. Congressman Blake Fahrenthold actually is doing some things in Washington. And tonight, AJC Radio will take some moments and some time to shine the light on Capitol Hill as we talk about a individual, Lisa, that you and I had the privilege, Cliff, to meet in Washington, D.C., and he is very passionate. He's very charismatic, if you will, about his positions on the judicial system, on our veterans, and as a elected official. Lisa, your thoughts when we did get the opportunity to talk to him. We're going to bring that interview to our listeners tonight. Your thoughts on Congressman Fahrenthold.
Well, Congressman Fahrenthold seems to have a good grasp of what it is that he wants to accomplish while he's in office. He's done a lot of things. He's stepped out a lot and done a lot of things that I think are good for the country. He's moving forward. He's definitely making tremendous strides moving forward for the country.
And Cliff, you were also present in Washington on that particular journey by AJC Radio. And your thoughts on the congressman basically opened the door like we were coming in for breakfast. In Texas, your thoughts on the attitude of the congressman?
It was very mild-mannered, low-key, you know, when you're there. We're very hospitable, like most people out of Texas. But then, as you heard in the opening clip, he can be a bulldog. He can be one of those longhorn bulls that can really put it to you and stick to his guns to get the things done that he know has to be done to be a viable part of Congress.
I know, absolutely. And Dennis, we have found that Congressman Fahrenthold is one that is definitely concerned about our veterans. And you being a former veteran, thank you for your service. Your perspective as a veteran on Congressman Fahrenthold and his passion to protect the veterans of this country.
I think it's great. I mean, our veterans have done a lot for this country. I mean, because of our veterans, we have our freedom. And I tell you, a lot of lost lives and a lot of dedication. But a congressman like that, I tell you, if they're about the veteran, I'm all for them.
And absolutely, and couldn't be spoken better than from a veteran himself. And we appreciate that. Folks, this is going to be a humdinger. Lisa, the disclaimer for our listeners tonight.
Yes, we just want to remind everyone that we are not attorneys and that A Just Cause does not provide legal advice. You want to contact your personal legal advisor for your legal needs. Also, the opinions expressed by callers and guests do not necessarily reflect that of A Just Cause or AJC Radio. And as always, we want to thank you for tuning in and choosing to spend time with us this evening.
And thank you, Lisa, for that. And I'll tell you right now, folks, if you want to join the conversation tonight, 347-838-8976. That's 347-838-8976. Your opinion, your thoughts definitely mean a lot on this program. We definitely want to hear from you. They say the good things that come out of Texas is usually a 10-ounce or 20-ounce steak off the grill. But I'll tell you tonight, we go a bit further with a legend, if you will, a champion, I call him, on Capitol Hill with Congressman Blake Fahrenthold. And tonight we intend to get into that conversation. And stay with us, folks. We're going to be bringing that exclusive one-on-one interview given to us by Congressman Fahrenthold here on the other side of the break. And right now we're going to talk about something that's very important that speaks to the attacks, Dennis, in Brussels. The terrorist attack being ISIS coming out, taking no delay in accepting responsibility for the attacks. And the 32 people that were killed in those attacks, we have a problem, and it seems to be getting closer to the homeland. Your thoughts on that, Dennis?
That's true. I mean, it's getting it's already out of hand. I can't say it's getting out of hand. I mean, but the terrorists are getting bolder and bolder. As a country, we're going to have to, you know, really get down to business about figuring out how we can protect our borders and keep Americans safe. And then not only keep Americans safe, but since we're the superpower, we need to be able to assist our allies in doing the same.
And Cliff, as you have had the opportunity to see the devastation, I was watching CNN today, and a gentleman was trapped under the rubble, dying. It appeared the horrors and the screams. When you see this, how concerned should America be as ISIS approaches the United States?
Well, it's already been stated by, you know, law enforcement, members of Congress, everyone who has a voice about what's going on with ISIS, that they know that there's sleeper cells here in America. So we have to do what we must as America, as American law enforcement, federal law enforcement, to ensure that those cells are tracked down, that, you know, the ISIS threat is eradicated here at home, then, as Dennis said, so that we can help our allies abroad as well.
Lisa, your thoughts on the tragedy and the devastation of Brussels as, again, we find federal officials scrambling, running around looking for answers. Your thoughts on this type of devastation that affects the safety and the security of this nation as well?
Well, Lamont, watching the news and you see the pictures of the people and the things that were happening, the pictures of the aftermath, it's a horrific thing to watch on TV. And when I was reading about the attack, they did mention that the Belgians had their security had lapses in it, and they needed to address that, and they hadn't addressed it in a timely manner. I think it brings to light how important it is to keep your security up to par and have everything covered so that you don't end up with things like this happening.
Well, folks, grab your notebooks, grab your iPad, grab whatever it is where you jot down the things that are of the utmost importance, because guess what? Breaking news right now on AJC Radio is that the answer to ISIS, we have found it. They are six men known as the IRP-6. Who are these men? Who are these patriots? Who are these champions of justice, of keeping America safe? They sit in prison right now with the key to stop ISIS and any terrorist group that threatens the homeland of the United States. Who are they? They are David Banks, Demetrius Harper, Dave Zappolo, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, and Gary Walker. Later in this program tonight, we will deal with what you didn't know about the IRP-6 and about the software sitting idle and available right now to keep the homeland safe as ISIS threatens the homeland of the United States. Stay tuned for that later in the program. Also, we'll be dealing with a couple of issues. It is election season. We have some things going on in the political, on the political horizon, if you will, as we brace ourselves as American citizens, as we are on the brink of transition of power. We're almost into April next week. Not too long from now, right after Thanksgiving, before Thanksgiving in Turkey, we would have elected a new president. And Dennis, when time is moving very quickly and America seems at a position of uneasiness to a point, as we have seen the election with a different spin this year. Your thoughts on that?
A totally different spin. A lot of attitude out there. It's just that the biggest thing is that the voters got to get out and vote. When you know, the caucuses, I mean, that's fine. I mean, we got to do what we got to do. But when it's time to vote for our president, I strongly urge every citizen to get out there and vote, because there's no excuse. Once an individual is in office, that was for the people, by the people. So we need to really get out there and vote.
Oh, absolutely. And Cliff, well, we were talking before in regards to the issues with the voting laws in states, making it difficult for inner city communities, difficult to get out and vote. Your thoughts on the importance of that vote and fighting and standing against that, as we are in the one, probably I would believe to be one of the most critical elections of our time.
Yeah, and you know what it boils down to is, you know, there's always been a fight as far as to by a lot on the extreme right to revoke the voting rights of several different groups of people, whether it be minorities, whether it be those who are pretty much illegal aliens. I mean, people who've been here 20 years, you don't want them to vote. Well, then don't take their taxes. That's my opinion on it.
I agree.
Don't tell me pay taxes and then tell me I don't have the right to vote.
I agree.
And to echo what Dennis said, I mean, you got to get out there, got to do what it takes. You got to understand the whole, you know, understand the policies, understand the process. Get out there and vote. I've always said, hey, if you don't vote, you don't have the right to complain when the person that you don't want in office is doing things you don't want them to do.
Exactly.
At least if you voted, you say, hey, well, I made my voice known. The majority of the voters were against me, but at least that way you have the right to speak up. You don't vote, just sit back and shut up.
Exactly.
Well, there you go, folks. Mitch, no bones about it. It's important that we get out the vote this year, and we're not going to tell you how to vote, who to vote for. It is important you get out to vote and understand the decision you make will shape a nation. We're talking about a Supreme Court, probably a few Supreme Court nominations during the presidency, depending on what befalls us and the members who sit on the Supreme Court. We're talking about a lot of legislation. We have seats coming up in the House, in the Senate, and a lot of Republican seats are coming up. Where it looks like, based upon what I've been hearing, a opportunity for the Democratic Party to take leadership of the House. So we're taking a look at a lot of things. Folks, again, get out to vote, and it's important. Tonight, as we shine the light, spotlight on Capitol Hill, on Congressman Fahrenthold out of Texas, we're going to learn some things about what he's doing, what his efforts are. And the whole purpose of Spotlight on Capitol Hill is one thing. We're going to talk about what Congress is doing versus what they are not doing and what people want to focus on. And we have learned a huge lesson through this process that members of Congress and our elected officials are doing some phenomenal things. We're going to be getting to that here momentarily. Right now, we're going to get ready to take a break. Coming back, we will bring the exclusive one-on-one interview with Congressman Fahrenthold, given right only to AJC Radio. Folks, hang on to your seats. Right now in Colorado Springs, 46 degrees. Had a little touch of winter yesterday in the springtime season, but right now we're at 46 degrees, some clouds, some sun. New York City is 51, a little cloudy, and in our nation's capital, we wish we were there. 79 degrees. partly sunny, and it's getting better. Folks, hang on in there. This is Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. We're coming right back with Congressman Fahrenthold making a difference on a nation. Do you have a big brother? Well, I have a big brother, and I'm pretty sure that you and I experience some of the same things with a big brother. Big brothers will always be big brothers, right? I'm sure you'll agree. Well, my brother gets up in the morning. He takes a shower, heads to work, and at some point during the day, he's going to exercise and get that workout, as we all do. And of course, depending on what's going on, he's going to sit down for two or three meals during the course of his day. And also, depending on what else is going on, he'll probably get caught up on current events and maybe take a few moments to turn a page in a book. How about your big brother? Some of the same stuff, right? Oh, did I mention that my big brother does all of that stuff, but he actually has to have permission a lot of times before he can do it? You see, my big brother was wrongfully convicted of a crime that he did not commit. That's right. That may sound shocking, huh? He's in prison. Wrongful convictions impact families in ways you cannot begin to imagine. But I've decided that I'm going to do something about it. And I extend an invitation to you to come on board and join me in this fight. You see, I'm helping to be a voice for my big brother and others who have been wrongfully convicted. We'd like you to take a few moments today and call a Just Cause, where we fight for justice. You can call us toll free at 1-855-529-4252. That's 1-855-529-4252. Join with us as we fight for justice and for all big brothers across the land.
Good morning, students, and welcome to Career Day. I hope you're excited to hear about all the great things you can do when you grow up.
Hi, everyone. I'm Emily. I'm super excited to introduce my dad because he's my hero. When I was little, my dad was away a lot, but I was okay with that because he was doing this really important work driving ambulances in Iraq. Now he's at home, which is great for me because I get to see him every day now. And he's still the biggest hero I know because he tells all the ambulances and the fire engines where to go and rescue people when there's an emergency. I'm so proud of him. He's awesome. He's my dad.
If your service-connected disability prevents you from continuing in your civilian career, Voc Rehab offers counseling, training with a living allowance, education, and other services to help prepare you for your next mission.
Do you know anyone who's been sent to prison who's innocent? The United States is experiencing record numbers of exonerations in cases where people were wrongfully convicted of crimes they did not commit. If you believe that no one should be sent to prison for crimes they didn't commit, there is something that you can do today. By remembering a Just Cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call a Just Cause at 855-529-4252 or visit a-justcause.com and click the donate button. A Just Cause is a 501c3. Wrongful convictions are wrong. Let's be the voice of those who can't speak from behind the wall.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Spotlight on Capitol Hill. I'm going to come to a moment and call it that because I'm so sick of people passing by on the spotlights on Capitol Hill, because the information seems to be overwhelming of what our elected officials are doing. Lisa, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, as we said before, I think people don't realize how much work that our members actually do. They work hard. They work long hours. They put in a lot of time trying to do what they think is right for this country. And people don't realize how much time and work and effort is involved in that, how much sacrifice they have to make being away from their families. They don't understand. I don't think people understand the full scope of the sacrifice that they're making.
No, absolutely. And I definitely agree with that point. Congressman Fahrenthold is a lifelong resident of Texas, born and raised in Corpus Christi. He's currently serving his third term in Congress, and he represents the 27th district of Texas, which includes the Texas Gulf Coast and Corpus Christi vicinity. And I'll tell you, Representative Fahrenthold is working towards a smaller, more accountable and transparent government through his service as a committee member on the House Oversight Committee, the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and the House Judiciary Committee. And Lisa, we know how important that committee is as far as the judiciary of Congress.
Yes, absolutely. They do a lot of, they oversee a lot of important things.
And it looks like, it says here, prior to being elected to Congress, Congressman Fahrenthold had a very diverse career, including working as a conservative radio commentator, 7 years of law practice with the Clayburgh Law Firm, and founding Fahrenthold Consulting LLC, a computer consulting and web design firm. He continues to pursue his passion for broadcasting, appearing frequently on radio and television. And one of those frequencies is his appearance here on AJC Radio, as a definite honor for us, Dennis, to have him. And we're going to, again, moments, we're going to be bringing that exclusive interview to our listeners. And we talked a little bit about his record, some of the committees, again, that he sits on. Again, he's part of the judiciary, and that always raises a red flag to us, given the criminal justice system right now in the need of major reform. And when we get an opportunity to talk to these elected officials, it doesn't take them long to deal and address criminal justice reform. And the reason for that is that it is a major issue in this country right now. And we're looking to hopefully see some massive changes to that. And Dennis, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what we're about. We're about justice. And there is really a grave need for judicial reform. And if the congressman here, Mr. Fahrenthold, is really pushing for that, I'm telling you, that's what needs to happen right now. We got too many exonerations, and they're continuing to happen. And then we got people being wrongfully convicted. There's just so much in this country going on with our judicial system. It's time for an overhaul. And in order to do that, we got to get all our congresspeople together, our congressmen and women, and of course the House. We need to get everybody together and say, okay, time for some change.
Well, you know what we're finding here on the spotlight on Capitol Hill? Each member is uniquely different. Each member has a specific role that they play. And I think that's what's fascinating about the spotlight on Capitol Hill, because I believe that's good for the diversity of Congress, because with all of those pieces together, change can actually be implemented.
Exactly.
And we can learn and grow and do what needs to be done. I want to give a special shout out to his wife. He's been married to his wife, Debbie, for 28 years. We talk about military wives, but what about congressmen and congresswomen, wives and husbands, what they must go through on a continual basis, Cliff?
Yeah,
your thoughts?
I mean, because if you think about the way that they travel, they come in, they're there 3.5, 4.5 days a week, and then they fly back out. So by the time they get in, it's typically late at night. So they got Friday and Saturday and part of Sunday. Then they're prepping to go back out. I mean, like, we get up to do our 9-to-5 job. That's what they do, but they take a plane to get to D.C.
Right.
Every week. And so you look at that, and some of them, you know, some of them have young kids. Some of them have kids who are transitioning from, like, middle school to high school or high school to college. And like you said, the sacrifice that they make for their families so that they can be servants to the public. It is unimaginable. And then what has always stricken me when we've been there to speak with members of Congress, is that they come in and they're so cordial, like, oh, yeah, you know, I just came in fresh. I mean, we can talk to them on Wednesday or Thursday, call Thursday, you know, travel day. You can see one of them on Thursday, and they are just as cordial as if, you know, every vote went their way. It always astounds me that they come in and, you know, it's not with this grumpy, like, you know, hey, we lost the vote. I'm upset that I've been here. These are truly servants of the people, and it's to be commended.
No, absolutely. And those are the things I think that we actually must focus on. And just look at the rundown on Congressman Fahrenthold, House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, Vice Chairman, Subcommittee on Information Technology, Member of the Subcommittee on the Interior, Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, Vice Chairman, Subcommittee on Railroads, Pipelines, and Hazardous Materials, Member of Subcommittee on Aviation, Member of Subcommittee on Highways and Transit, the Judiciary Committee, Vice Chairman, Subcommittee on Regulatory Reform, Commercial and Antitrust Laws, and the Member of Subcommittee on Courts, Lisa, Intellectual Property, and the Internet. And there we go again. You're always going to get a reference to the IRP6. These folks are there doing things to oversee and protect the American citizen. And intellectual property is a huge protection of rights, of the entrepreneur, if you will, exactly, of commerce, that those things are not stolen and taken. This man is on committees that are truly shaping the United States of America. And I'll tell you what, folks, feel free to call in tonight on this program, your thoughts on Congressman Fahrenthold as we get ready to unravel, if you will, some of the commitments, some of the passion of this congressman. Feel free to call 347-838-8976. That's 347-838-8976. And Dennis, as we was talking earlier in regards to veterans, huge man of the, you know, some of the things that Congressman Fahrenthold does, down to the very simple things of legislation, which we're going to get into. But he is passionate about everything that he is addressing in his legislation. What sticks out to you most of what we've seen currently in some of those legislation issues?
I'm amazed about, I'm telling you, this. Ever since this has been started, you know, most of the congressmen that we, or you know, whoever we have on the show that talks about veterans, they're truly committed to making sure that our veterans are being taken care of, and also that, you know, they're being kind of, I want to use the word rewarded for their service, so that, you know, they're not just stuck out there, you know, that, yeah, you serve my country, but we're not going to do anything for you. I mean, you got a congressman like this that's saying, no, we're going to take care of our veterans. That's a priority. And as long as you got congressmen doing that, I'm telling you, our veterans are going to be willing to continue to protect this country.
No, without question. And we'll get into a lot of the legislation. One that stands out, you know, we keep talking on this program about accountability. Transparency is critically important to gain the trust of the American people. Seems very important to the congressman. You're going to hear from him not only on this live interview here we're getting ready to bring to you, but also in different times on the floor, raising issues with his colleagues, things that are important not only to Texas, but to the United States. Those are things that are critically important, and we'll go into this one very, very briefly. Prior to that interview, is his Government Spending Accountability Act of 2015 requires each federal agency to post on its public website detailed information on employee presentations at conferences, including the prepared text of any verbal presentation, any visual, digital, video, and audio materials presented, including photographs, slides, and audiovisual recordings. Limits to $500,000, the amount that an agency may spend to support a single conference. What he's doing is, because there are people that are taking advantage and getting government money, and he says, where's the proof that you're doing these conferences or this is going on? Cliff, when you see that, I think that's the standard in America on transparency.
That's right.
On accountability.
Transparency and accountability, those are the key words. And every member to be going out saying, you know what, this is exactly what we spent, this is exactly how we spent it, and this is why we spent it. If you go to a Congress, to a conference, you say we spent $500,000 putting on this conference of taxpayer dollars. What exactly did you do? Because hey, if you do one of those every other month, you're talking about $6 million that you just spent a taxpayer dollar.
There we go.
Doing conferences. What did you get accomplished? What did you spend, and why did you spend it that way? If you have to have accountability, you have to have transparency. Without it, that is where waste, fraud, and corruption come.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's the tip of the iceberg. Listen, that's one part of legislation that we've shared tonight. And I'll tell you, the temperature's rising at AJC Radio, because guess what? This is what we have been talking about. This is what members of Congress have to do. And I guarantee you, the only people that's going to have a problem with Congressman Fahrenthold taking that stand is somebody that is doing what they should not be doing.
Exactly.
If I'm above board, yes, here we go. Here's the slides, here's the video, here's the recording. And those are things, common sense things that we got to pay attention to. Folks, I don't want to hold off any longer. Right now, let's bring the interview with Congressman Fahrenthold, as we had an opportunity with an exclusive one-on-one interview only on AJC Radio. Here's that conversation. Man, good afternoon. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Is this Congressman Fahrenthold?
It is indeed.
Such a privilege, Congressman, and thank you for taking some time with us. We finally got it done after meeting with you in November last year, right before the holidays.
Well, I hope it wasn't my fault.
No, not at all. Not at all. And we appreciate you taking some time with us for Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And I'm just going to introduce you to America, and we're going to go forward. You ready?
I was born ready.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen of America, welcome to Spotlight on Capitol Hill tonight. We have the honor and the privileges of shining the spotlight on Congressman Fahrenthold from Texas, and a gentleman up there in Washington, D.C., doing some things that's definitely making some impact on America and the citizens of America. And we welcome you, Congressman, to the program tonight.
Now, listen, it's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. And Congressman, again, such an indeed pleasure when we met you last November. And you had some things on your heart and some things, I would say, visionary that you see going forward as America gets into a new time or a new era, if you will, as we are on the brink of electing a new president. Many changes will happen, of course, in Congress as well. Your thoughts on the direction of the country right now?
Well, I do think we're at a crossroads as we come up to the next election. And you know, regardless of who wins the next election, I think there's some things that everybody can agree on that, you know, we can argue, you know, until the cows come home about what the government should be doing, how big the government should be, and all of this. But I don't think anybody would argue that what the government does do, it ought to do efficiently and spend the taxpayers' money wisely and utilize technology to deliver services the way citizens expect them to be delivered. Because, you know, you go to any private business and they use technology to enhance how they deliver service. Yet you go look at the Veterans Administration, for example, and they're using programs written in COBOL, which is a 1960s computer language, to get payments out to the doctors that treat our veterans. We need to use information technology to improve service.
No, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more with that. And I think, and I'm sure you're aware of the huge scandal with the Veterans Affairs and the things that have happened at the VA clinics across the country. And a lot of people, you know, we did a show on Veterans Day honoring our veterans and remembering that our veterans count. And that's just one small piece of the pie. As you address that issue, perhaps some of the people and some of the things that happened in that scandal and that type of situation where it appeared without question the ball had been dropped. Perhaps if we've been up on the technology in those particular facilities, perhaps these are things that we could have definitely avoided. So that's definitely a good point. Congressman, as we get ready, I did notice that there's been a bill that the president just recently signed in regards to the veterans situation in regards to And I'm pulling it up now in regards to you had done a press release recently on the actions of the president. You actually spoke to that you thought it was a good step for the military, some action that had been recently taken by the president.
All right. So we've got several pieces of legislation that have come through Congress, some of which have been assigned by the president that help out our veterans. One of them that I'm particularly proud of, that I was an original co-sponsor. I worked with a Congressman Lynch out of Massachusetts. And what it said is, if, you know, a lot of veterans come out of the service and go to work for the federal government. And when they go to work for the government, coming out of the military, they have to go a year before they're entitled to medical leave. And we changed that so veterans with disabilities would be able to go to the VA to seek treatment for their disabilities and immediately accrue sick leave time to do that, so they wouldn't be penalized for seeking the treatment they need. I mean, that's just a common sense solution. They're working for the government before, they're working for the government after. They shouldn't have to restart accruing their sick leave time.
No, absolutely. So a way of really protecting our veterans and really doing the right thing is exactly that. And I
want to touch on one more thing about veterans, if you'd let me.
Sure.
Members of Congress have a staff of folks that work back in the districts that they represent. Some congressmen call them caseworkers. I call them red tape cutters. And they're there for constituents who have problems with the federal government. Immigration problem, Social Security, getting a passport, something like that. But 70% of the work that comes in to my red tape cutters is veterans related. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, we should be working a lot harder to get our veterans taken care of. And it's something Congress is working on, but you know, the VA is a big, huge federal bureaucracy. It's actually, you know, the Secretary of the VA is not appointed by Congress. He's appointed by the President. So we can create the rules and give them the tools, but the true leadership in that comes from the executive branch. So it needs to be a team effort there.
Well, no, absolutely. And I think it's a matter of coming together. Congressman, on our show we did about veterans left in harm's way, you know, there were statistics out there about the veterans, so many veterans that were homeless, that couldn't get prescription drugs for medication and things like that. And it was a heartbreaking episode because there were stories there that America has to. The very freedom we lay our head down on our pillow at night is provided by these servicemen and women that give their lives and sacrifice that freedom may continue in America. And those were things that were very, very troubling. What steps do you think needs to happen from the top down that we ensure what you're saying in regards to taking care of our veterans? How do we cross the partisan lines, if you will, and come together and make, I mean, this is just a right thing to do.
So there are two approaches that I'm kind of looking at. The one right now, as we talked about earlier, is streamlining the VA and making sure that they use technology so we don't have veterans slipping through the cracks. I do a radio show back home every Monday morning, and we had a caller a couple of weeks ago who said it had taken his son 3 months to get an appointment to see a mental health professional at the VA, and just a few hours before the appointment, that young man committed suicide. And
oh, goodness,
it is absolutely heartbreaking. So Congress is working on the technology. We've passed the Veterans Choice, and that's also been signed into law, that says if it takes the VA more than 30 days to see you, you're entitled to go see a private practitioner. And had we done a better job getting the word out, maybe we could have gotten this young man in to see a private care physician, but you know, they never called our office for help. And you know, so I've something I'm talking about whenever on the radio. If you feel like you're being made to wait by the VA, demand your rights under the Veterans Choice Card and call your local congressman. He or she will help you get in. The other thing, just from a broad, possibly earth-shattering reform at the VA, there's starting to be some discussion about whether or not we want to move the veterans' health care completely away from the VA and run it more like Medicare. And you, sure. If you're a veteran, you get a card. And you know, the details we're still talking about, but do you say we pay 110% of to doctors to see a veteran of what they'd get under Medicaid? So the veterans move to the front of the line, and you start to develop specialties in veterans care. But I speak to veterans groups, and sometimes they're opposed to that. They actually like working with the VA with all their problems because they feel like they have a special understanding of veterans' issues. So, you know, just moving towards a more Medicare-like system is just in the early discussion stages right now.
No, absolutely. And I did locate Congressman Fairholt, the information, I guess you released a press release in regard to the president's signing of the NDAA.
The National Defense Authorization Act, right? It included some very pro-military and pro-veterans provisions.
Yeah, and it was refreshing, and I quote you, you said, "This is a significant step forward for the military that affects more than a million service members and their families. The bill gives needed protections for those who are serving our country who are victims of sexual assault. It puts a ban on another round of base closing." And it's refreshing, Congressman, to see that there are some things that whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, that we can agree on, that the president is making some steps. And this is it was really refreshing that you would say
joke about it in the office. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. I don't agree with President Obama on a lot of things, but sure, there are some things you agree on.
No, and that's good to know. And I think, again, as we talk about veterans in the military, I think those two things definitely come together. And it's good to see that you're passionate about what needs to be done. And what you're saying is something that is going to be helpful, I think, as legislation things begin to come down as far as the changes in this country right now. So that's definitely a good point. Congressman, on the next point, as we, you know, everybody's talking about the election and what lies ahead for America. And I made this statement a couple of weeks ago. America, I'll use your word that you used earlier, we are at a crossroad of decision. There are a lot of decisions that have to be made in regards to America right now. And I think the American people are on the edge of their seat, because whenever you have a transition of power, as far as the presidency, we've done it for a long time now, and America seems to just get in there and go with the flow. How important would you say to our listeners tonight is this election approaching? And not only for the presidency of the United States, but also Senate seats, House seats. How important at this time, since we are at a crossroad of decision, what importance do we place on this election and the importance of our citizens getting out to vote?
I think it's incredibly important that you get out to vote. You've got a broad spectrum of candidates from the far right to the far left. And it's going to be up to each individual voter to make their decision about where you want to be. And I have to tell you, I'm looking for a president that has honesty and integrity, and one that realizes that he or she can't do it alone. The best ideas don't come through unilateral executive action, but come through negotiating and working through Congress. You know, the Founding Fathers set up three co-equal branches of government, and I think we've gotten a little bit out of kilter. Congress has surrendered a lot of power to the executive branch with all these government agencies, you know, the alphabet of soup of government agencies that propose all these regulations that affect our businesses and lives as much, if not more, than laws actually enacted by Congress. And the one question I'm asking all the presidential candidates that I get the opportunity to talk to, and one of the privileges, I guess, of being in Congress, is a lot of the presidential candidates come and meet with us in small groups to get our opinion on things and to try to get our support. And I'm asking him, do you support a piece of legislation called the RAINS Act? And what the RAINS Act is a law that says if a government agency, say the EPA, were to propose a regulation that has more than $100 million of economic impact, rather than automatically taking effect, it has to actually be approved affirmatively by Congress. And I think that returns more power to where the founding fathers intended it, to the members of Congress who are elected every 2 or 6 years, depending on if you're in the House or in the Senate, rather than bureaucrats who have, in many instances, a job for life working for an executive branch agency. So I want a president who'll sign the Reins Act and return a little bit more power to Congress.
No, absolutely. And again, it is a balance of power. I think that's important. I think over the years, we've seen in at least history, people can work together in Congress and the president. It takes everybody collectively. And I think the point that you make, we need a president that's going to get in there and realize he cannot do it alone. He has to have the help of Congress, the elected officials elected by the American people. Everybody has a voice and coming together collectively to make those things happen.
It's interesting. You need a president with humility, but the running for president does not attract humble people.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. So I think that's a good point as well. Congressman, I did see early January, I believe on January 8th, a press release went out in regards to the Fairness in Class Action Litigation Act. Can you tell the people about that, that you worked with Congressman Bob Goodlatte on that?
So the FACT Act was the piece that was mine, legislation, and what it says is that if you file a claim for an asbestos-related disease, the trusts that help pay for that from the bankrupt asbestos companies can release your name to make sure you're not filing the same lawsuit against multiple trusts or getting compensated multiple times for the same injury. The problem is these trusts are running out of money, and we've still got folks who have been exposed to asbestos that aren't showing symptoms. And it's a disproportionate number of folks that suffer from asbestos-related diseases are in the military. So we're trying to make sure that the money that's there is there for future victims and not folks who are being led into scamming the system, in some cases by disreputable attorneys.
Okay, and what happens there, of course, if they're filing multiple claims and they're showing a pattern of abuse, if you will, for the people and the families that need it, this is, I presume, the vision of what you folks had in mind,
right,
that the people that need it do not suffer as a result of an abuse of those
right,
particular claims. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was a little more controversial than I thought. There were some folks that had a couple of issues with it, but I think we got it passed, and hopefully it'll get signed into law. I think we addressed most of the concerns people had.
No, absolutely. And Lisa, you had something?
Yes, Congressman Fahrenthold, I had a question for you. You have done some work in regards to the economy and jobs, and I'm just doing some research on you. And I'm just interested in what your thoughts would be on the direction that we need to be going in a way that you think would help to increase the amount of jobs available in America. We still have a high unemployment rate. And so I wanted to find out what your thoughts were.
We do have a high unemployment rate. And again, it's getting expensive to hire people with some of the increases in costs of health insurance. That's certainly making it more difficult, along with the mandates to purchase health insurance. We really need to, revisit the health care. I think that's a big roadblock in creating jobs. And again, I think it's the overall amount of government regulations. Yeah, you end up hiring a couple people to fill out the paperwork for the government, but it's getting harder and harder for banks to lend money to businesses because of all the regulations under the Dodd-Frank law. You've got all sorts of other government agencies that are... we've got to have somebody there that's doing, protecting people, job safety and the environment. But we've got to look at it within reason. We've got to have standards that can be met and focus that regulation on how we can do the most good. And then, you've always got the fallback of the plaintiff's attorneys if a company comes in. But we don't want to get there. But we need a lighter touch of regulation. And we see how that works in Texas, where the government agencies and the businesses cooperate. You see that in the federal government, for instance, with something called the VPP. It's a plan with the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, where they team with industry to develop best practices and spread those on a voluntary basis among plants. So they have safety groups that go from plant to plant and share information. It's really reduced injuries and reduced the number of inspections that the OSHA has to do and the number of fines. It develops a culture of safety and a partnership between the regulators and the regulated. And I see that as very good for jobs in the economy. We've also got to make sure our transportation system is up to date. Got to make sure the roads are there so the goods we produce can be delivered and our ports are in good shape so we can engage in international commerce. And I think our low energy prices are going to be a huge boon to jobs in this country. Yes, we're losing some jobs in the oil field, but we're actually starting to see manufacturing come back to this country as energy prices go down, and we have some of the cheapest energy in the world right now.
No, absolutely. And Congressman, we are going to be respectful of your time. If you have to go, please interject that to us. We're approaching the end of the interview, but please, by all means, tell us if we're if you need to go or we tend to go over as we get into conversation. I do have one question for you. In regards to criminal justice reform, which is a hot topic on the Hill right now, as we look at a justice system, if you will, that from what we have learned appears to be very broken. The overcrowding, mass incarceration, different things that are going on. We have seen bipartisan efforts made in regards to addressing these issues, holding judges, prosecutors accountable, and dealing with the issues that are tough to deal with if we don't deal with them face on. What are your thoughts as far as the criminal justice system, the reform that's needed, and the talk in Washington right now that reform must take place?
We've done a really good job in Texas in moving nonviolent offenders out of prison and into halfway houses or some sort of supervised release program, saving a lot of money and making room for those people who really do need to be in prison, you know, specifically the murderers, rapists, armed robbers, and other violent offenders, while you know, the nonviolent offenders, getting them on a path to rehabilitation. And
okay.
The Judiciary Committee is working on that, and it's also making sure judges have some more discretion in sentencing, their federal sentencing guidelines. But you need to, you know, you need to take a look at that. Somebody who goes in to a grocery or goes into a store and shoplifts a TV might ought to be treated different than somebody who goes in and shoplifts a box of macaroni and cheese to feed their family. Now, I'm not saying it's right to go in and steal anything.
Sure.
But there's a certain order of magnitude to these offenses that judges ought to have. Discretion to listen to what's going on. And in the past, we've had some pretty strict federal sentencing guidelines, and because you saw judges being too lenient, and it looks like the pendulum, from what I'm hearing from actually family members who are judges, is the pendulum has swung too far, and some of the discretion has been taken away from judges.
Right, and then ultimately the system gets worse and worse as. And I think it's about finding that medium, finding that balance, and really, Congressman, some common sense to your point in regards to some macaroni and cheese, to a television, to a, you know, an armed situation, kidnapping situation. There has to be a separation of those. And the people will say all the time, you know, that the time doesn't fit the crime on any level. Thus, the president taking some steps. To change those issues as well.
It's got to be worked out where there's a deterrence there, but we've also got to, I think common sense is the word, and in a bureaucracy, there's little room for common sense. You take away all the discretion from people and just have volumes upon volumes of rules that, you know, you can spend your entire life writing rules for something, and you'll never be able to come up with a rule that's right for every possible thing that could happen. You just can't anticipate it.
Right. No, and you're correct on that. And the last point, Congressman, I'd like to make, a question I'd like to ask you about is regarding the threat of the homeland right now. That, as again, you know, we have people watching all over the world, the presidential election, who's going to be in office, what leeway, if you will terrorist groups try to take or to test the new president. And, of course, ISIS is on the tongue of everybody and their aggressiveness to attack the homeland. And we've heard a lot of we are trying to keep the homeland safe. And I think it goes to your point, Congressman, in regards to the technology that can help and aid in that situation. I'm going to, if it's okay with you, send you some information on the IRP6, which are six IT professionals that develop software that could actually track ISIS and actually really cripple ISIS and any terrorist groups that threaten the homeland of the United States.
I would love to see it. Listen, there are lots of technology pieces there that we need to use to secure our border. We don't know who is coming in to this country, and I guarantee you a very large number of those coming in are not coming in as economic refugees, but are coming in for other more nefarious reasons, whether it's smuggling human beings for sex trafficking, smuggling drugs, or even terrorists entering this country. Border security is one of my top three issues. If you ask me what I lose sleep over at night, it's border security.
No, absolutely. I mean, and Congressman, I'm sure you're not alone in that thought process. As you tuck the kids in at night, Americans all over the country wonder, will my kids be safe by tomorrow morning? Will we have an issue tonight? And I think that's critically important. Terrorist cells for ISIS all over the United States. That's been verified over and over again that there are cells in the United States. I'm going to send that information to you, Congressman. I think it's important. I think your passion for what you are about and what you feel is important to this country, your thoughts and your opinion on that information, we would love to follow up with you on that if that's okay with you.
Please do.
Okay, Congressman, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. And please know that you have a door open here at AJC Radio as you continue into this year with legislation. If you need to come back on our program in regards to pushing that out to our listeners across the United States, that's an open door to you always.
And before I go, I do want to remind every veteran out there, if you're having problems with the VA, call your congressman. They've got staff to help you cut through the red tape. You shouldn't have to call your congressman, but if you feel like you're getting the runaround, you can't get in to get the care you need, call your congressman and he or she will help. Republican or Democrat, it's partisan support of our veterans here in Washington and back in the districts we represent.
No, absolutely, and we will definitely put that out on our website as well. And Congressman, thank you so much. We know you folks are busy up there keeping America running. And we will look forward to following up with you on the situation with the IRP6 and that technology that you speak so vividly about. We appreciate it.
It was great being on the air/internet with y'all.
Hey, we appreciate that.
Thank you for the time, Congressman.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. Congressman Blake Fahrenthold, U.S. Representative. Lifelong resident of Texas, born and raised in Corpus Christi, doing some things, serving his third term in Congress and representing the 27th District of Texas. And Congressman Fahrenthold is working towards smaller, more accountability, transparent government. He speaks to the plight, if you will, of our veterans who apparently in this country seem to have been left behind. Is this the only issue Congressman Fahrenthold has passion about? I can guarantee you it's not. But one of the major issues facing this nation. He is married. Congressman Fahrenthold has been married to his wife, Debbie, for 28 years. They have two adult daughters, Morgan and Amanda. And I'll tell you right now, folks, Congressman Fahrenthold making a difference in our nation. We're coming right back. Please join us. We're coming right back with you. Congressman Fahrenthold, Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. And I'll tell you right now, folks, we're just getting started, and we have a lot of things to go over about this champion. And we're going to dig even further as we salute and honor our champion, Congressman Fahrenthold. We'll be right back.
odds of becoming an astronaut, 1 in 13,200,000. Odds of being struck by lightning, 1 in 576,000. Odds of dating a supermodel, 1 in 88,000. Odds of bowling a perfect game, 1 in 11,500. Odds of being trapped in an elevator, 1 in 24,528. Odds of catching a ball at a major league game, 1 in 563. Odds of an injury from shaving, 1 in 6,585. Odds of tripping while texting, 1 in 10. Odds of getting cancer in your lifetime, 1 in 2 men, 1 in 3 women.
It's up to us
to change the odds for our generation.
For the ones we love.
For our future.
If you don't like the odds, stand up. Stand up to cancer.
For a kid whose mom or dad is in prison, life is tough. Now add a wrongful conviction to that. Life just got a little bit tougher. Trying to explain to friends why mom or dad is not at the school play or at the ball game is something that no kid should ever be faced with. Especially if mom or dad is innocent. Ladies and gentlemen, get involved today to stop the epidemic of wrongful convictions. By remembering a Just Cause with a monthly, annual, or one-time donation, you can help in the fight against wrongful convictions. Call a Just Cause today. 1-855-529-4252. We seek justice for the children. As they go to bed at night and mom's not there, dad's not in the other room to make them feel safe. Not because dad or mom did anything wrong, because justice could not be found. Join us for the children, for they truly are our future.
You must have thrown 1,000 pitches teaching him to hit a home run. Spent countless Saturdays running routes so he could learn to hit an open receiver. Endless afternoons teaching him how to hit the three-pointer. But how much time have you spent teaching him what not to hit? Teaching boys that all violence against women is wrong is one of the most important things a man can do. Learn how to start the conversation at teachearly.org. Brought to you by Futures Without Violence and the Ad Council.
On the advice of my counsel, I respectfully exercise my Fifth Amendment right and decline to answer that question.
And if the IRS does hand over the emails, what can we expect? Joining us now is Texas Congressman Blake Parenthold, who's a member of that investigative committee, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, and he joins us now from Austin, Texas. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Good to see you. Do you expect Ms. Lerner will be cited for contempt of Congress this coming week?
Well, there's certainly some talk about it. Speaker Boehner indicated that that might be an appropriate response. So we'll see what happens. We've got a Government Oversight and Reform Committee business meeting coming up next week. Not on the agenda yet, but may be added.
Why are you so troubled by the fact that she has taken the Fifth several times? It is a right under the Constitution, and what you have or have not so far been told.
Well, I don't think she took the Fifth. She waived her Fifth Amendment right when she came into that first Government Oversight and Reform hearing and gave her side of the story. Well, we have a right to cross-examine her. She waived her Fifth Amendment right at that point.
Now, the IRS says they will be handing over this material. What do you expect, or what do you think it will show? What do you think these emails and these texts and other documents could show? I mean, they were accused of stonewalling the committee in the past few months.
Well, my concern is, where did the idea come from that we're going to target these Tea Party groups? Even if there wasn't a specific directive from higher up, which I think there was a culture in the IRS where this sort of behavior seems right. The American people deserve honesty from their tax collecting agency. It's not a political tool. It's supposed to be a fair arbiter of taxes.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Spotlight on Capitol Hill. And I'll tell you right now, when you hear that, we're looking at Congressman Farenthold, Dennis Cliff Lisa, getting involved
with one of the most major scandals in the IRS of late, and Congressman Fahrenthold is holding nothing back. Dennis, when you hear this, they're talking about, of course, Lerner. She was the IRS official, refused basically to answer questions of wrongdoing. And in those proceedings, and to note Congressman Fahrenthold's position and calling, this goes back to what we talked about earlier in dealing with accountability. Cliff, when you hear Congressman Fahrenthold getting into this, he makes it very clear that she waived her right to plead the Fifth when she stated she had done nothing wrong at the onset. Congressman Fahrenthold is appearing to me to be a person that is going to dig until we get the right result and the right resolve.
Exactly, and that's what I was saying earlier when I said, you know, he can be a Texas Longhorn, because he's going to keep on pushing and pushing and pushing until he gets the answers that he's looking for. And, you know, anybody, you come before Congress, you are a federal employee, especially on something like this with the IRS situation where you're targeting certain groups, you're, you know, misusing others. Then you come in and want to say, you know, well, hey, I didn't do anything. And then when Congress wants to ask you some questions about the emails that you wrote, why they disappeared, then you want to say, well, I don't have anything to say about it. I think it was the right thing to do, you know, for them to push the IRS. And Congressman Fahrenthold was a huge part of that, to say we want answers. The IRS should be held accountable, as all federal agencies should be, and they should have transparency. The people are the ones that pay you as a federal employee, and you owe the people of the United States an explanation when you take actions like this.
No, absolutely. And how important, Dennis, is it that this type of position be held by our elected officials? We keep saying transparency and accountability. Congressman Fahrenthold, to me, has set the mold or the bar to say under his watch, we're not going to allow this, whatever you would call stonewalling, not wanting to address the issues. You are an IRS official, period. The American people should be able to trust one of the largest entities of the federal government when it deals with the American people's money. We shouldn't have to wonder if you're honest, question if you're honest. These are Americans and the hardworking money that they work for every day. And if we can't trust the IRS to be transparent, as Congressman Fahrenthold is demanding they be, we have a serious problem. How important, Dennis, in your perception, is this issue?
It's very important. I mean, a big entity is that, you know, our federal tax system, you know, how we, you know, tax our citizens and how we do it fairly and how we treat each other, you know, and for someone to have the ability to plead the Fifth, to not answer any questions regarding, you know, possible, you know, wrongdoing, I think it's wrong. I truly think it's wrong. And the American people, you know, that tells me that either you got something to hide or you don't. If you didn't do nothing wrong, what's the problem with, you know, defending yourself? But apparently, and I can't say anything was done wrong, but apparently she didn't feel that she needed to explain to anyone why, you know, the corruption within our IRS took place.
Well, look, it's political posturing is what it is. It has nothing to do with, did I do anything wrong? Number one, you look scared to death before Congress. You look like you're hiding something, and I'll say it again. If you walk like a duck, quacks like a duck, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen of America. The answer is it's a duck.
Exactly.
And Congressman Fahrenthold seems to, again, raise the bar. That's his, to me, one of his major issues of his legislation passions.
Transparency.
Accountability. What are you doing? We talked earlier in regard to holding people accountable when government spending,
exactly,
when grants and monies is given by the government. Cliff, as you alluded to, $500,000, you know, just to put that on a piece of paper and say, look, we did this in Timbuktu, Iowa, or Connecticut, or whatever you want to call it. We had this. This is very critical not only to the American people with the trust factor, but it's important because if we don't have accountability, and I think this is what I respect about Congressman Fahrenthold, without accountability, you have a major problem in the economy, jobs, everything's affected there. Cliff, your thoughts on that?
Well, the entire system then breaks down. If you don't have accountability, if nobody knows what the next person is doing, then anybody can do anything. Then the whole system comes tumbling down. There's no oversight. I mean, that's why we have the Congressional Oversight Committee, is for them to look over these different arms of the government, these different agencies, to say, look, what are you doing with the people's money? I mean, it's a government for the people and by the people, but it comes down to the fact that somebody has to be the watchdog, somebody, over these federal agencies, to say, you have taxpayer money just in a pot. You spend it, and then you want to just come back and say, hey, you know, we spent $500,000 on 12 kickballs. Well, that's just not enough. You're going to have to show some receipts, show what you bought, show where you bought it, why you bought it. There has to be transparency. Otherwise, again, the entire system comes tumbling down in even a worse way than it has.
No, it definitely does. And we were talking earlier, Dennis, Lisa, Cliff, in regards to Congressman Fahrenthold's position on the abuse of lawsuits, frivolous lawsuits being brought. Say, for instance, Dennis, you and I are in a situation. I'm actually faking an issue, want to bring a frivolous lawsuit against a corporation that many times can bankrupt a company, depending on that company. But yet you have a true problem and a real matter that needs to be brought before the court. But guess what? We look the same. They don't give you credence because I'm abusing the system. Congressman Fahrenthold says we have to end frivolous lawsuits that, again, affect, Cliff, as you alluded to, the entire system.
Yes.
Of economy, of commerce, all these things. And I think the American people have to pay very close attention to this. These issues have to be looked into. Congressman Fahrenthold seems to be a person. He's not backing down. He is saying, look, I'm looking at the big picture, not the short term. And he speaks to this issue. Let's hear what he had to say.
Thank you, Chairman. I rise today in support of H.R. 758, the Lawsuit Abuse Reduction Act, commonly called LARA, sponsored by my good friend and colleague from Texas, Lamar Smith. The legal system in the United States needs to be driven by justice, not by dollars. Right now, there are too many lawyers out there throwing their money at frivolous lawsuits and that manipulate and abuse the system. No one should be able to abuse our system. It's simple to file a lawsuit, and you can cost the defendant hundreds of thousands of dollars on a frivolous claim, going through discovery and going through all of the legal processes. That simply isn't right. LARA ensures that judges impose monetary sanctions against lawyers who file these frivolous lawsuits, including the cost of attorney's fees incurred by their victims. It prevents bad lawyers from using the judicial system as a weapon and provides justice for those who have been abused by these attorneys. By passing LARA, attorneys will no longer be able to exert power over their victims with these suits that are not based on facts and in law, but are merely intended to scare or extort money out of the victims. I remember when I was in law school in Congressman Smith's hometown of San Antonio, Texas, and one of the professors in one of my classes said something that has stuck with me for all these years about a lawsuit. You may be able to beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride. Well, guess what? LARA helps with that. You're not going to be able to stop the emotional roller coaster ride the defendant and his family, his partners, his employees, his friends all go through as a result of the lawsuit that's frivolous. But you will be able to beat some of the cost of that ride by holding the attorneys who file frivolous lawsuits responsible for that. That's what we need to do. Frivolous lawsuits drain victims of their money and damage their reputations. Let's stop them before they start by putting the lawyers at risk for filing frivolous lawsuits. You know, in many countries, there's a loser pay system. We're not proposing we go that far here in the United States, but we do want justice for those who are victims of clearly frivolous lawsuits.
Well, there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen of America, if you are wondering where you have arrived tonight, this is Spotlight on Capitol Hill, and we are shining the light on Congressman Fahrenthold out of Texas. And I'll tell you right now, what you just heard, Dennis, what stood out to you in that clip, he said it must be about justice.
Exactly.
Not dollars.
Not did, dollars.
But did you hear the passion in which the congressman spoke?
Oh, yes, I heard him, man.
Mix no bones about it, folks. And he's talking about the as a result of the abuse in our system, we have to hold people again. Our word tonight for Spotlight Thursday has been accountability. And he seems very passionate about this act, about this issue. He is about fairness. Congressman Farrell is about, look, giving every person a fair shake. We can't get that done without holding folks accountable who are abusing the system. Dennis, your thoughts?
Exactly. I mean, everybody's trying to get a dollar, and that's sad. You know, and we use our legal system to do it, you know, by bringing these frivolous acts. And you know, it's not about justice like he was saying. You know, like the congressman was alluding to, he was saying we got to be about justice. Enough is enough, because not only do you hurt these businesses financially, but you actually, you know, hurt them as individual people. I mean, you know, you're being accused of something that you haven't done. So I truly agree with him. It's time to, it's time out for that, and I applaud the act.
And, you know, this Lawsuit Abuse Reduction Act, as he was speaking about, it amends the Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure to require, not just allow judges discretion, but it requires judges to impose mandatory sanctions on the attorneys, law firms, or the parties who file frivolous claims, defenses, and other legal contentions. The legislation replaces the current rule, which allows judges discretion to impose those sanctions, and instead this forces judges to impose mandatory sanctions prescribed by Congress. It also removes the rule safe harbor protection, which currently allows attorneys to correct their pleadings, claims, or contentions within a 21-day period without fear of sanctions. So the way it's set up now, it's like, okay, well, I got a frivolous claim. Yeah, I ran you through the ringer. I cost you several $100,000. But then the attorney, within 21 days of the judge saying, you know, you shouldn't have brought this. You cost these people all this money. Then he can say, okay, well, I'm going to change it, make it all right, and then there's no sanction against me. No, you know, basically no fine. So the new rule will say, no, you don't get that 21 days. You filed it frivolous. It was frivolous. The court found it to be frivolous, and you're going to be sanctioned. And what I thought about is that this should be applied to federal prosecutors.
You. It should be.
There we
you
go.
You come up
I
with
agree.
A frivolous claim against somebody, you make them spend hundreds of thousands. You know, we were talking to Mr. Blagojevich two days ago, and he said it almost cost him $1 million to defend himself.
That's what he spent.
Against the federal government,
yeah.
And they ended up dropping the case. Does he get a penny of that money back?
No.
So I think this should be this is a great rule, and it should be applied federally to say if the prosecutor kept pushing and he had nothing against you, then he should be brought up on sanctions, and he should have to pay you your attorney fee.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Lisa, it gives us some information to bring the Congressman Fahrenthold's office as we take a journey to our nation's capital. And I believe Congressman Fahrenthold will hear what we have to say on that. Lisa, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty open to hearing what's going on and trying to do what he can to make a difference, because he seems to really be concerned about making sure things are done correctly in the government.
No, absolutely. And we go another issue. The congressman is addressing the Innocent Sellers Fairness Act. Innocent Sellers Fairness Act exempts a lawful seller from liability for personal injury, monetary loss, or damage to property arising out of an accident or transaction involving a seller's product, unless the claimant provides one or more of the following activities by the seller. The seller was the manufacturer. The seller altered, modified, or expressly warranted the product. The seller had actual knowledge of the defect in the product, and so on and so on. And he has a lot of support. In the committee, the House Judiciary and the House Energy of Commerce backed this bill. It is to protect, and it's, again, just what the title says, the innocent seller's fairness. Congressman Fahrenthold is continually doing things to implement fairness. That is critical in our nation right now because the little man doesn't get treated fairly all the time. And, you know, they get looked over. It sounds like to me Congressman Fahrenthold is a congressman of the people.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing here.
I agree.
Down this list, folks. I'll tell you, you want to get in on the conversation tonight, dial 347-838-8976, 347-838-8976. As, again, the spotlight shines a little brighter tonight here at AJC Radio on Congressman Blake Fahrenthold. And I think it is critically important that we understand these actions is why we are pushing, again, for the American people to get out and vote and make a difference.
Exactly.
If you don't have congresswomen doing these things that we are learning here on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, how does this nation run?
It's not going to.
It can't survive.
Exactly.
And speaking to the diversity of the government, of Congress, man, it makes you feel a little proud and patriotic and a little bit American to know you have somebody on Capitol Hill and several people, Cliff, that we have learned through this ordeal. They're doing things, and there are Congress and our elected officials are about the American people. We're seeing that very clearly now, and it seems very self-evident. Cliff, your thoughts on that perspective?
Right. And what we want to stress is that you have to go out and you have to look. You have to understand policies and procedures. And when you look, that is when you find out that, wow, the members of Congress, especially those that we bring forward on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, that they are doing work that nobody really ever knew about. I've said it many times before, you don't see this on C-SPAN and, you know, they went up to vote on one issue. You don't see this presented on CNN. You don't see it on Fox News. You don't see it on MSNBC. There's always the, you know, well, hey, this is a rumor about what we heard the member of Congress was doing. Here on Spotlight on Capitol Hill, we tell you what their legislation is, what they've done to make a difference in the lives of the American people.
And it actually honestly takes me back to the veteran love for the congressman has for veterans. You know, in Texas, they have one of the largest aviation programs. And Dennis, you can speak a little bit to that. The importance of the aviation program in the military today, how critical is it?
Oh, it's very critical. I mean, that's one of our first lines of offense, you know, let alone defense. And here in Colorado, you know, we've got a lot of bases out here that deal mainly with our air power. So it's awesome. I mean, and we're getting bigger. You know,
absolutely.
We're getting bigger here in Colorado, and we're understanding the importance of having, you know, an aviation department.
Well, folks, we said before on this program, how many hats can a congressman wear, and how deep do those hats go? Well, Congressman Fahrenthold is passionate about the aviation and the success of the aviation programs that affect the safety and security of this nation. Let's hear what he had to say about aviation training and the importance of that.
I rise today to recognize the Naval Air Station at Corpus Christi as it celebrates its 75th anniversary this month. NASCC, or as it was once known, the University of the Air, has been training pilots, navigators, aerologists, gunners, and radio operators since 1941. NASCC was founded in 1938 under the 75th Congress to train new pilots and technical crews to bolster our nation's air forces. The air base serves southern portion of Texas, of the United States, from Texas to Florida, and trains naval aviators nationwide, along with other pilots from our foreign allies. Today, NASCC is not just a naval base. It includes tenant commands for the U.S. Army, Coast Guard, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The Corpus Christi Army Depot, with updates, rotary-winged aircraft, helicopters, is saving our country millions of dollars. The depot facility and other tenants make the base extremely cost-effective for both the Army, Navy, and taxpayers. The Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol operates a variety of aircraft from the base, including Predator drones surveilling our border,
which is great because we have a new generation of pilots interacting with UAVs, getting their training at NASCC. NASCC's current commanding officer is Captain Randolph F. Pearson, who joins a long line of leaders to serve in Corpus Christi. During World War II, it was said there wasn't a naval aviator who hadn't earned their wings at the air station. These World War II naval aviators were critical members of the U.S. military, giving the U.S. an edge in battles across the Pacific and over Europe with our superior air power. It was American air power combined with U.S. naval power that played a critical role in turning back the tide of Japanese at the Battle of Midway. It was American air power that dealt a decisive blow against the Japanese in the Battle of the Philippine Sea, winning one of the largest air battles in history. After World War II, it was American air power that flew flood supplies to the starving people of Berlin during the Berlin airlift. This was all accomplished with graduates of the Corpus Christi University of the Air, NASCC. Today, the training program is approximately 18 months, and due to the increased complexity of modern aircraft, it just takes longer. 600 people per year are trained at the facility and go on to serve their country in the U.S. Navy and Marines as pilots, engineers, and technical crew. These folks learn skills through the program that propel them through a successful life in the military and a successful life in the private industry or private sector after their service ends.
Well, I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not feeling patriotic right now, you may want to go and pull that flag out we talk about on this program. And Congressman Fahrenthold is setting the standard. I'm a little bit beside myself, Cliff and Lisa, Dennis, the passion that Congressman Fahrenthold is speaking to, the aviation program, the protection, securing America. If that is not a topic that's on the minds of the American people tonight, then I don't know what is. When you hear that, Dennis, from Congressman Fahrenthold, and he talks about the importance of it even way back in World War II and all the things we have been through as a nation, I'll tell you what, if I have room for more flags, I guess we better pull them out. Dennis, your thoughts?
It's just awesome, I tell you. To be involved with our aviation in such a way as far as training or making sure that our aviation program provides the training and provides, you know, the input that it needs to do and to ensure that we got an aviation corps that can take care of this country.
Look,
and go elsewhere if needed. We proved that.
Well, I'll tell you what, people want to say that our military is weak and it's not. I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen of America, we have the most powerful military on the planet. Ask a couple of countries about that. I'm sure they will concur. Right now, on the other side of this break, we're coming back as we continue. Woo! A hot spotlight on Capitol Hill as we have shined the light on Congressman Fahrenthold. And folks, make no mistake about it, the temperature is rising. We're coming right back here. Spotlight on Capitol Hill Thursday. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of AJC Radio and a campaign that we have started that is underway entitled Spotlight on Capitol Hill. This program is new to AJC Radio, but it is an exciting time when we take a few moments every Thursday evening to highlight members of Congress, their initiatives that are not only important to them, their constituents, and the nation as a whole. We invite you every Thursday to tune in to AJC Radio to hear your congressman or your senator and their initiatives that are here to shape a nation and to bring about change. We invite you cordially, and as we fight for justice, as we seek justice daily, we'll come together as not only the American people. Join us every Thursday for Spotlight on Capitol Hill. God bless you, and as always, God bless America.
The racial composition of the prison population in the United States is very different from the population at large. If people are worried about inequality in America today, I think this deserves more attention in the discussion. Racial inequality in the criminal justice system gets ignored because it doesn't affect most people. In 2010, over 1.6 million people were in state and federal prisons within the United States. So, 497 out of every 100,000 Americans were in jail. About half of 1%. Less than 1%. That doesn't seem very large, but when you separate that population by race, you recognize that the personal effects of the criminal justice system are very unequally shared throughout our society. Whites make up 64% of the total population, but only 31% of the incarcerated population. Blacks represent 14% of society, but 36% of the prison population. Hispanics are 16% of America, but 24% of the American prison population. Less than 1 in 100 Americans are currently in jail, but for some races, genders, and age groups, that ratio is a lot larger. For example, if you're young, black, and male, it's closer to about 1 in 4. That means you'd have a higher probability of going to jail than of getting married or going to college. These results are unequal and problematic, as poor black communities lack so many of their members. But what can be done? The causes of this trend are undoubtedly complicated and multi-causal. But there is reason to suggest that part of the blame is our criminal justice system itself. In the ways police officers enforce laws, in the ways that laws are written and prosecuted, and more. In many cases, it is not overt racism by individual actors. Many police officers, prosecutors, and judges are undoubtedly trying to be fair and trying to do the right thing. But economics can explain how unequal enforcement of the criminal law happens anyway. This is because the political and bureaucratic structure of the criminal justice system creates perverse incentives. The formal laws surrounding drug prohibition, for example, are written as if to be colorblind. But people with different levels of wealth face different costs and benefits to participating in the drug trade. Different groups consume different drugs at different rates, and lastly, those groups are politically represented in very different quantities. Thus, they are arrested and incarcerated at very different rates. How could minority groups hope to use the political process to fix inequality when they are systematically over-incarcerated and disenfranchised? Despite noble intentions, politics often does not affect the basic incentives of costs and benefits faced by political or citizen actors. We might need a new approach to social change if we are going to address these problems. We definitely need more study into the causes of inequality, and we should admit that radical changes might be both necessary and preferable to the status quo.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm here today to speak in strong support of internet tax freedom. I'm a believer in the power of the internet. It means a lot for America. It means a lot for the world. Because of our commitment to keeping internet access largely unencumbered by taxes and government control, we've created something really cool. A dynamic market for goods and services, and most importantly, a marketplace for ideas. Our rights to freedom of speech and freedom of association have grown as the web opens new outlets for expression and advocacy. Whether it's a group of citizens organizing to petition the government for a redress of their grievances, or somebody looking for the love of their life on an internet dating site, the internet is there. But we cannot get comfortable. We cannot forget that the power to tax, and might I add, the power to overregulate, is the power to destroy. That's why I'm up here supporting the Permanent Internet Tax Freedom Act. And I'd like to thank Chairman Goodlatte and our numerous co-sponsors on both of the aisles. This is good for America. This is good for the world. Please join me in voting yay.
And there you have it, folks. Ladies and gentlemen of America, welcome back. And I'll tell you right now, folks, Spotlight on Capitol Hill tonight is on fire. As we shine the light on Congressman Farenthold, doing some things. And as you heard in the clip there, folks, Dennis, Cliff, Lisa, not wanting to tax the internet. Now, I'll tell you, these positions that Congressman Fahrenthold is taking, I can guarantee you, are not popular. Because I guarantee you, by the traffic of the World Wide Web, Cliff, the estimations of monies made, if that's taxed, would be astronomical.
Well, and this is twofold. One is, you know, stay out of my house while I'm shopping government. The issue that Congressman Fahrenthold is dealing with is that if you start taxing the internet and purchases across the internet, do you know how astronomical the price is going to go on goods coming across the internet?
There we go.
It would make no sense from any economical standpoint to say, okay, we're going to tax, what's sold on the internet. They already have where if you buy something where the buyer and the seller are in the same state, then you get taxed for that. That's starting to become a serious, serious issue and a headache for at the end of the year. You get a 1099 form to say you bought this on the internet, and guess what? You owe the government tax. That is just insanity to me. Leave the internet purchases alone. Let commerce have its perfect way, and that way commerce continues. The more that you regulate, the more that you stipulate this is the way that you have to do business, the less people are going to do business, and the more it's going to hurt the economy.
Well, the understanding here is that particular bill did pass the House. It's the Internet Tax Freedom Act, passed the House and was sent to the Senate in July of 2014. We'll see what goes on with that, but I think that's critically important. If you look at the consumer reports that I saw this past year during Christmas time, that the internet outdid retail stores across the United States in shopping. They have what they call, you have Black Friday deals, Lisa, you're a shopper. Is that Cyber Monday?
Yes.
And
that's a great day.
The number within the billions of dollars made, this is huge for America. That we have members of Congress saying, wait a minute, there has to be a line in the sand, if you will, because we're going to have a problem here. Billions of dollars. And I'll tell you what, not only the users on the internet would have a problem with that, I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, some votes would be cost during an election year. Wait a minute, because they are shopping. Technology is moving. And folks are more comfortable sitting at home over a cup of coffee and perhaps a piece of coffee cake in the morning doing their shopping and not having to brave the elements and go outside. So, again, Congressman Fahrenthold, folks, seems to be connected with the people. Dennis, he's connected.
Very connected.
And these are things that make a huge difference in our democracy and in our process. And that's a very, very good thing. And those are things that definitely have to be paid attention to. We talked a little bit again, and again we go back to this because we deal with issues that need to be addressed. We are all aware of the outrage and the abuse of the veteran of the VA, all the stuff that happened there, our veterans being left behind. Again, Congressman Fahrenthold, a champion, takes hold of the horns and wants to deal with that issue, and we're going to get ready to address that. Dennis, how important is it? We talked about this before. The veteran seems to be, again, as we said earlier, a major concern to Congressman Fahrenthold.
Oh, yes, definitely a major concern. He spoke about the Veterans Leave Act, where veterans that were getting out, and, you know, most of them do go into working for the government, you know, on the civilian side. And he was talking about how that he wanted to make sure that they didn't have to start all over in order to, you know, get sick leave. Because most of them, a lot of them, you know, got hurt, you know, in the war. So they're coming home and they're going to need sick leave. So he got on that bandwagon for our military as far as the Veterans Leave Act. And it's a good thing. It's in place now. So veterans get out now and their leave begin to accumulate. So they don't have to wait that whole year to start getting leave, sick leave, before they can take it.
That's awesome. That's awesome because here, folks, Congressman Fahrenthold, again, when you look at his legacy, his resume of what he is doing, these, as we said before on this program, are issues that face and create the foundation
exactly
of tomorrow's America. And to our veterans, our hat, you must salute Congressman Fairholt.
You have to.
And many other members of Congress, but tonight is his night as we have dealt with some issues. He was outraged about the VA abuse, people not getting services, veterans dying on tables without care in America. Let's hear what the congressman had to say.
Mr. Speaker, I'm outraged over reports involving the care of our veterans and the blatant mismanagement at the VA. We've made promises to our nation's veterans, and yet wounded veterans are waiting months and even years, with some even dying due to backlogs at the VA. I found out yesterday a veteran in my district died from excessive delays because he was unable to get necessary heart surgery. Delays at the VA hospital in Phoenix may have led to additional deaths. And reportedly, VA officials have ordered hospital workers to shield this information in order to hide incredibly long waits. Workers at a VA clinic in Fort Collins, Colorado, were supposedly told to falsify appointment records to escape retribution for not meeting agency-imposed goals. If they didn't meet, that they didn't do that, they were going to end up on a bad boys list. Mr. Speaker, if true, these reports demonstrate a serious problem within the VA. The brave Americans who served our country did not wait months or years to answer the call to protect our freedom. They deserve the best care that we can give them in a timely manner. Unfortunately, under current leadership with the VA, that seems impossible. If Secretary Shinseki can't get this done, President Obama needs to find somebody who can.
They can have the vote.
Or here on AJC Radio, as we have shined the light, this is the drumbeat of courage, of justice, of a man, a champion, I would call a general on the Hill. And that is Congressman Blake Fahrenthold. And you heard his position on that clip to the treatment of veterans. Who will be the voice for injustice in the country? Spotlight on Capitol Hill finds those people that have become the voice of the people. Congressman Fahrenthold takes that standard as that's the bar. As you listen to him and his passion about the Creek veteran. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, he puts it on paper. This is the issue that must be dealt with. You know, I've said it before that the first part of being able to deal with it is admitting that the issue exists. And so many times it happens that, you know, they don't want to just be straight. They don't want to just come out and say, you know, we have a problem. And Congressman Fahrenthold said, look, the Veterans Administration is failing their duty to our American servicemen and women. We have to put that on the table. We have to deal with it, and then we have to come up with a solution on this is how we'll fix it. This is the way to get it done. And Congressman Fahrenthold lays that down and has no qualms about calling it like it is, saying exactly what's going on, and said, hey, there has to be, again, some accountability for the people who have the responsibility to ensure that our veterans, as one example of what his passion is, that they're taken care of.
Oh, absolutely, Cliff. And I tell you, you can't say it any better than that. And folks, wow is the word that I have tonight. And I'll tell you right now, folks, Congressman Fahrenthold, we have learned a few things tonight. That we have found the congressman, the elected official of the people. And when that happens, folks, AJC Radio and our team, we are left with no alternative. We're left with no choice but to salute our Congressman Fahrenthold right now with a round of applause. Let's give it for Congressman Fahrenthold tonight. There we have it, folks. I'll tell you, the temperature, as we said earlier, continues to rise. At AJC Radio, we salute Congressman Fahrenthold for your service to America, for your fight to America, for your courage, if you will, to stand for the people. And tonight, we thank you so much for the opportunity, for taking time with AJC Radio. and given us an opportunity to shine the light on your extraordinary efforts there on Capitol Hill. Folks, join us here every Thursday, and I'll tell you right now, this gets hotter and hotter. The seasons have changed. Springtime has arrived, and summer is not too far away. A spotlight on Capitol Hill continues to catch fire. And I'll tell you what, thank you so much again to the staff and the team there that's working for Congressman Fairholt that made this interview possible. And we appreciate that. And I'll tell you right now, folks, right now there's something even just as important, if you will, regarding the safety and the security of the United States of America. As ISIS stands on the horizon, making an attempt to bring terror to this country, this is what you didn't know about the IRP-6. Some people think that business is a game. And what we have learned is that business actually is war.
When they wanted people to sign non-disclosure agreements and all that kind of stuff, sometimes they didn't want to do it.
It's strange to me. I think it's still strange. It just absolutely makes no sense. Is this really real? Is this happening?
And then all of a sudden your whole life is ripped apart.
What we have learned is that the IRP-6 story was supposed to be the American dream is an American nightmare.
They were floored that they were even being raided.
It became very clear that the court-appointed attorneys were not working for the guys. And it seemed like in many cases that they were collaborating or working with the prosecution.
We constantly hear in the news, every week you're going to hear about another person wrongfully convicted. And this is a unique case in the sense that you have six businessmen that have been wrongfully convicted. You would think the media would jump all over it.
Justice is not fair anymore. They say justice is supposed to be blind. It's not blind. It's not blind. They pick and choose who they want to convict and who they want to send to jail.
Is this happening in America? The American dream of the IRP-6 has turned into a nightmare. Crying children left behind as a result of a corrupt system and corruption. We will seek and search for justice. We will ask the tough questions. We will demand answers as justice lays idle in the streets of America. We look for the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, go out to change.org, sign the petition now. America's future depends on it. And what you didn't know about the IRP-6 is very clear. Ladies and gentlemen, as you sit in your homes tonight, feeling secure and safe, there's an enemy that approaches the homeland. Brussels hit with terrorist acts by ISIS. Tonight, what you didn't know is that six men who this program is dedicated to, the IRP-6, sit in prison tonight, languishing at almost 4 years for a crime never committed. The fact is that the IRP-6 created software that will enable the United States of America, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, law enforcement agencies across the spectrum to keep the homeland safe. These men are locked up wrongfully as a result of corruption and the lack of due process and the violation of our Constitution. Who are the IRP-6? David Banks, Dave Zappolo, Demetrius Harper, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, Gary Walker. Tonight we ask the tough questions. We inform America as we sit on the brink of terror. The IRP-6 holds the key to that answer, and that software is available now. Cliff, what you didn't know?
Yeah, what you may not know is that Department of Homeland Security tasked IRP Solutions to create software according to their requirements. So this is not just software that, you know, you say, well, a company went out and they created some software and they want to try to market it to somebody. No, the Department of Homeland Security said these are our requirements for what we need. And this was shortly after 9/11. These are the requirements that we need. This is what we need the software to do. This is what we're looking for. And IRP Solutions built that software to those specifications to the point where Department of Homeland Security said, give us a quote on what the price would be to stand this software up and to get it initially running. And to stand the software up and get the first module running, IRP Solutions quoted Department of Homeland Security with $100 million. So it tells you the value, the quality, and the efficiency of this software because it was requested and built to the specs of Department of Homeland Security.
And Cliff, tell the people, how significant is this software? Department of Homeland Security says, this is what we have been looking for. These men created that which was not even possible by the big companies, if you will, could not tap in to this solution, but the RP6 did.
That's right. A bunch of large companies, obviously, you know, government contractors, had gone after the same contract, the same requirements, saying, you know, we want a piece of this pie, per se. Well, as the process kept going on, it was obvious that IRP Solutions was the only one coming up with the solution. You have the Consolidated Enforcement Initiative that went, the Consolidated Enforcement Environment Initiative that was going on during this time. And what is ironic is that when everything went down with the IRP6, when the software was pulled off the shelf, the Silk software by IRP Solutions, then suddenly the whole initiative fell apart. There was no one else who could answer the bill. There was no one else who had to answer for what Department of Homeland Security was looking for. That when the IRP6 got indicted and the government interfered with their business and caused Department of Homeland Security not to do business with them, suddenly the entire initiative disappeared. No one else could foot the bill for what DHS was looking for. That's how significant this
wow.
is.
Ladies and gentlemen of America, make no mistake about it. We sent a plea tonight to the Department of Homeland Security, to the President, Barack Obama, President of the United States, to the Department of Justice, as we sit at right now, Cliff, the software is available in hand. As terrorists approach this world and now approach the nation, they sit idly and silently, and maybe in your city, maybe in your hometown, maybe they're at your church service or at the movie theater, at your restaurant. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. The answer to ISIS is right in front of us, the IRP6. Again, these patriots are David Banks, Demetrius Harper, Dave Zerpolo, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, and Gary Walker. It is time for action now. We must get involved. If you are out there today, members of Congress, we plead with you tonight to make a move. President Obama, these men hold the key to safety, not only for us, but for our children and our children's children. Give us a call now, 855-529-4252, extension 710. That number again is 855-529-4252, extension 710. It is imperative. It is a matter of national security that action happen now as we sit glued to our television sets and to the media and to CNN and all the coverage of the wreckage and the tragedy of Brussels. America is in the line of fire. Action must be taken now. And I'll tell you what, the first step, Lisa, that we have run into here, as we sit and look at patriots locked up who hold the key, make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen of America, there are those that are responsible as a result of these patriots being locked up, Lisa. Their actions and corruption have contributed to this issue. Lisa, the perpetrators of justice, who are they?
They are U.S. Attorney John Walsh, Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, Assistant U.S. Attorney Sunita Hazra, Attorney Greg Goldberg, Federal Judge Christine Arguello, Appellate Judge Jerome Holmes, Appellate Judge Bobby Baldock, Appellate Judge Harris Hart, Federal Judge R. Brooke Jackson, Magistrate Judge Craig Schaefer, Court Reporter Darlene Martinez, FBI Agent John Smith, FBI Agent Robert Mullen, Former Federal Agent John Epke, Former Federal Agent Gary Hilberry, Attorney Thomas Goodread, Attorney Clifford Barnard, Attorney Thomas Richard, Attorney Robert Berger, Attorney Mitchell Baker, Attorney Boston Staten Jr., Attorney Rick Kornfeld, Attorney Mark Garrigo, Susan Holland of ETI Professional Services, and Samuel K. Thurman.
And thank you for that, Lisa. Ladies and gentlemen, how important, Lisa, I got to go back to you, how important is it to these folks to go out to change.org, sign the petition asking the President of the United States to grant clemency to these six men? Lisa, we must press the sound the alarm, if you will, of what faces this nation as the answer and the specialist sit in a federal prison here in Florence, Colorado. How important is it that action be taken now?
It is vitally important. We don't have time to sit around and wait. We don't have time for, we don't want to sit and wait for another attack on U.S. soil before they make a move and do something that needs to be done. It needs to happen now, and it won't happen unless everybody goes out and does their part and gets this thing taken care of.
Absolutely. Folks, go out to AJCradio.com. There is a video posted, says the answer to ISIS crisis is the RP6. Six Silk Software, hit the play button, folks. You won't believe what you will see. The possibilities of tragedies, our playgrounds, our elementary schools, our junior high schools, our daycare centers. Ladies and gentlemen, understand the gravity of this situation. We need action now. Members of Congress, now. President Obama, now. Go to AJCradio.com and you can find out more. Watch the video. See what we're talking about as our children and our country stands at risk. And we can be in denial all day long, ladies and gentlemen, but ISIS continues to make its way towards the homeland and have arrived in many places, and we need to definitely take a look at that. Again, go to AJCradio.com. You can go freetherp6.org. Learn about this software. Contact your congressmen, your senators, your elected officials. Say, look, my children need to remain safe. I need to remain safe. Release these men, the RP6. Who are they? David Banks, David Sapolo, Demetrius Harper, Kendrick Barnes, Clinton Stewart, Gary Walker. Our national security depends on it. It is critical that we get involved. Please go to Facebook. Tell all your friends on Facebook. Go to change.org. Go out to Twitter. Tweet this situation. It is a matter of national security. Make no mistake about it, folks. We plead with you. We plead with our elected officials to free the IRP6. If you got further questions, you need information, the software right now is in hand to make a difference. Call 1-855-529-4252, extension 710. That is 855-529-4252, extension 710. Our nation's security depends on it. Good night, America, as we seek for justice, and we bring the message of justice all around the world. Free the RP6. Good night, America.
Good night.
You solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you would take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well of the office on which you are about to enter, so help you God. Congratulations. You're now members of the 114th Congress.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, it shouldn't take an act of Congress for these women to be interred in Arlington National Cemetery. We've heard from numerous people on both sides of the aisle that this is simply the right thing to do. The Army should have just said, yes, let's get them buried there. They should have used his pen and phone and ordered the Army to do it if they wouldn't. But guess what? We're here now, and it's going to take an act of Congress, and it's going to be a very strong act of Congress. I can't imagine we not passing this out of this House unanimously, and I suspect we'll see similar results in the Senate. But the remains of this woman should not have to rest in her granddaughter's closet. They should be interred in Arlington now. I urge my colleagues here to pass this bill unanimously, urge the Senate to act quickly, and urge President Obama to sign this into law. It's simply the right thing to do. We've just got to do it.